in the limelight.
The regimes that cry that they kill innocents by accident or unintentionally, or because the terrorist shield behind them, are also the ones that keep killing innocents, says Jonathan Cook, writer, in an article titled "Honest Mistakes: How U.S. and Israeli Regime Justify Targeting and Killing Civilians." Stay tuned for more. A supposedly independent Pentagon inquiry this month claimed just such a good-faith mistake after U.S. commanders authorized a drone strike in late August that killed an Afghan family, including 7 children. A U.S. Air Force general concluded that there was no negligence or misconduct and that no disciplinary action should be taken. At the weekend, the Pentagon exonerated itself again. It called the 2019 airstrike on Baghouz in Syria that killed dozens of women and children justified. It did so even after an investigation by the New York Times showed that the group of civilians who were bombed had already been identified as fleeing fighting between U.S.-backed militias and Daesh. A U.S. military lawyer, Dean Corsack, flagged the incident at the time as a potential war crime, but the Pentagon never carried out an investigation. It came to public attention only because Corsack sent details to a Senate Oversight Committee. In announcing the conclusions of its Afghanistan inquiry, the Pentagon made clear what its true priorities are in the wake of its hurried Saigon-style exit from Afghanistan following 2 decades of failed occupation. It cares about image management, not accountability. Contrast its refusal to take action against the drone operators and commanders who fired on a civilian vehicle with the Pentagon's immediate crackdown on one of its troops who criticized the handling of the withdrawal. Veteran Marine Stuart Scheller was court-martialed last month after he used social media to publicly berate his bosses. Which of the two, Scheller's comment or the impunity of those who killed an innocent family, is likely to do more to discredit the role of the U.S. military in Afghanistan or other theaters around the globe in which it operates? The Pentagon is far from alone in expecting to be exempt from scrutiny for its war crimes. The honest mistake is a continuing colonial narrative Western nations tell themselves and the rest of us when they kill civilians. When Western troops invade and occupy other people's lands and maybe help themselves to some of their resources, they find along the way it is done in the name of bringing security or spreading democracy. We're always the good guys, they are the evil ones. We make mistakes, they commit crimes. This is self-righteousness, is the source of Western indignation at any suggestion that the International Criminal Court at The Hague should investigate, let alone prosecute U.S., European, and Israeli regime commanders or politicians for carrying out or overseeing war crimes. The drone operators who killed the family of Zimari Ahmadi, an employee of a U.S. aid organization, were authorized to do so because his white Toyota Corolla was mistaken for a similar vehicle reported as belonging to the local franchise of Daesh. But that make is one of the most common vehicles in Afghanistan. The head of the aid organization where he worked told reporters pointedly, "I do not understand how the most powerful military in the world could follow Mr. Ahmadi, an aid worker, in a commonly used car for 8 hours and not figure out who he was and why he was at a U.S. aid organization's headquarters." The decision was at best recklessly indifferent as to whether Ahmadi was a genuine target and whether children would die as a result. But more likely, when it attacked Ahmadi's vehicle, the entire US military system was in the grip of a blinding thirst for revenge. 3 days earlier, 13 American troops and 169 Afghan civilians had been killed when a bomb exploded close to Kabul airport as Afghans master in the hope of gaining a place on one of the last evacuation flights. That airport explosion was the final military humiliation, this one inflicted by Daesh, after the Taliban effectively chased American troops out of Afghanistan. Revenge, even when it is dressed up as restoring deterrence or military honor, is not an honest mistake. But there is an even deeper reason to be skeptical of the Pentagon inquiry. There is no honest mistake defense when the same mistakes keep happening. Honest mistakes can't be a pattern of behavior. And yet the long years of U.S. occupation of Afghanistan and Iraq and meddling in Syria have been pockmarked with airstrikes that obliterated families or slammed into wedding parties. That information rarely makes headlines, eclipsed by the Pentagon's earlier faulty claims of successful neutralization of terrorists. But just such mistakes were the reason why the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan ultimately imploded. The Pentagon's scattergun killing of Afghans created so many enemies among the local population that U.S.-backed local rulers lost all legitimacy. Something similar happened during the U.S. and U.K.'s occupation of Iraq. Anyone who believes the Pentagon commits honest mistakes when it kills civilians needs to watch the video, Collateral Murder, issued by WikiLeaks in 2012. It shows the aerial view of helicopter pilots in 2007 as they discuss with a mix of technical indifference and gruesome glee their missile strikes on a crowd of Iraqis, including two Reuters journalists, moving about on the streets of Baghdad below. When a passing van tries to come to the aid of one of the wounded, the pilots fire again, even though a child is visible in the front seat. In fact, two children were found inside the van. U.S. troops arriving at the scene made the decision to deny both treatment from U.S. physicians. As the pilots were told of the casualties, one commented, "Well, it's their fault for bringing their kids into a battle." The other responded, "That's right." Before the video was leaked, the military claimed that civilians killed that day had been caught in the crossfire of a gun battle. There is no question that coalition forces were clearly engaged in combat operations against a hostile force, a statement read. The video, however, shows that there was nothing honest or mistaken about the way those Iraqis died, even if there was no specific intention to kill civilians. They were killed because U.S. commanders were uninterested in the safety of those it occupied, because they were indifferent to whether Iraqis, even Iraqi children, lived or died. The regimes that cry loudest that they kill innocents by accident or unintentionally or because the terrorist shield behind them are also the ones that keep killing innocents. The Israeli regime's version of this is the tragic mistake. The excuse is used in 2014 when its navy fired two precision missiles at a beach in Gaza at exactly the spot where four boys were playing football. They were killed instantly. In 7 weeks of pummeling Gaza in 2014, the Israeli regime killed more than 500 Palestinian children and more than 850 adult civilians. And yet all were apparently honest mistakes, because no troops, commanders, or politicians were ever held to account for those deaths. Palestinian civilians keep dying year after year, decade after decade, and yet they are always killed by an honest mistake. The Israeli regime's excuses are entirely unconvincing for the same reason the Pentagon's carry no weight. Both have committed their crimes in another people's territory to which they have not been invited. Both militaries rule over those people without good cause, treating the local population as hostiles, and both act in knowledge that their troops enjoy absolute impunity. In reaching its decision on the killing of the Afghan family this month, the Pentagon stated that it had not broken the law. That verdict, too, is not honest. What the U.S. military means is that it did not break its own self-serving rules of engagement, rules that permit anything the U.S. military decides it wants to do. It behaves if no law applies to it when it invades other lands, not even the laws of territories it occupies. That argument is dishonest, too. There are the laws of war and the laws of occupation. There is international law. The U.S. has broken those laws over and over again in Afghanistan and Iraq, as has the Zionist regime in ruling over the Palestinians for more than 5 decades and blockading parts of their territory. The problem is that there is no appetite to enforce international law against the planet's sole military superpower and its allies. Instead, it is allowed to claim the role of benevolent global policeman. Both the U.S. and the Israeli regime declined to ratify the Rome Statute, which established the International Criminal Court, ICC, that judges war crimes. That refusal was no honest mistake either. Each expected to avoid the court's scrutiny. U.S. and Israeli regime leaders know their troops commit war crimes, and that they themselves commit war crimes by approving either the wars of aggression these troops are expected to wage or the messy, long-term belligerent occupations they are supposed to enforce. But whatever they hope, the failure to ratify the statute does not serve as a stay-out-of-jail card. U.S. and Israeli regime leaders still risk falling under the ICC's jurisdiction if the countries they invade or occupy have ratified the statute, as is the case with Afghanistan and Palestine. The catch is that the Hague Court can be used only as a last resort. In other words, it has to be shown first that any country accused of war crimes failed to seriously investigate those crimes itself. The chorus from the U.S. and Israeli regime of honest mistake every time they kill civilians is just such proof. It demonstrates that the U.S. and Israeli regime systems are entirely incapable of upholding laws of war or holding their own political and military officials to account. That must be the job of ICC instead. But the court is fearful. The Trump administration launched a war against it last year to stop its officials investigating U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan. The assets of the court's officials were blocked and they were denied the right to enter the U.S. That is the reason why the court keeps failing to stand up for the victims of Western war crimes like Zimari Ahmadi and his children. The ICC had spent 15 years dragging its feet before it finally announced last year that it would investigate allegations of U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan. That resolve quickly dissolved under the subsequent campaign of pressure. In September, shortly after Ahmadi's family was killed by U.S. drone operators, the court's chief prosecutor declared that investigations into U.S. actions in Afghanistan, including widespread claims of torture of Afghans, would be deprioritized. The investigation would focus instead on Taliban and Daesh. Once again, enemies of the United States, but not the United States itself, will be called to account. That, too, is no honest mistake.